Ruchem Abayim to the 17th in the series of lectures, Shiurim, on the section of the Guide for the Perplexed, where the Rambam elaborates his negative theology. Last Shia we ended in chapter 65, and I noted that the Rambam makes a very subtle turnabout in which everything he said in the Moed Avuchim about negative theology, he's about to violate the entire thing. Okay? Let's go back a little bit, beginning in chapter 65. First of all, we have to understand that in the Moed Avuchim, the Rambam doesn't tell us really what he's doing. Most of the time, he's decoying us. But just like at certain times, he makes flashes. The Rambam actually says this explicitly in the in his Hakdama. He speaks about lightning flashing. He speaks about paying attention to the different Pukim, etc., etc. In other words, basically, the Rambam speaks and speaks, and then once in a while there's a flash.
And
what?
I don't know when he's telling that.
Well, you have to have an intelligent reading of the Moed Avuchim. Moed Avuchim obviously is only meant for very few intelligent people. And that's part of what the Rambam is actually doing. The Rambam, the Moed Avuchim is transmitting secrets which are not supposed to be transmitted. The Rambam discusses this in this Pesicha. So how do you do? So basically there's an esoteric and exoteric message to the Moed Avuchim. For the most part, the Rambam is basically, telling people things that they already want to know or already know. And there's only at different points that the Rambam is making subtle changes that the informed reader, the reader to whom he's aimed at, right, is going to pick up and understand what he's doing. Now, the Rambam has basically spent many chapters convincing us that, in fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu cannot be described in any affirmative, with any positive description. And, of course, we cannot in any way associate any act with God. So when the Torah speaks, for the Rambam, in other words, when the Torah speaks about acts of God, what the Torah is referring to, that doesn't mean literally God acts. God cannot act in the way a human being acts, because that would impinge upon God's absolute unity. But rather, that the Torah is in fact actually just describing a phenomenon in nature and attributing it to God. Okay, we've had 15 shiurim, 16 shiurim of that. Now, the Rambam actually continues that in chapter 65. The Rambam says, similarly, when it says a Kodesh Baruch Hu spoke, doesn't mean that there's an active speaking of God, but rather somehow there's a sound wave, there's a sound, like any phenomenon in nature, and we associate that sound wave with God. But there's no act of God speaking. Chas v'shalom. That's a violation of everything we've spoken about. Every notion of God's paganistic. Now, so in other words, that's what the Rambam is doing. The Rambam, in chapter 65, speaks about God speaking, and he says everybody agrees the Torah was created. In other words, when God speaks, he creates speech. It's not an act of God, but basically it's a phenomenon of nature. I hear a sound. Today we would associate that with the vibration of molecules of air, and I associate that with God, but there's no act of God speaking. God can't speak. That's a violation. But it's interesting that the Rambam begins the perek, La'acha shigata el adaka hazois. After you reach this madreka. After you reach this level. What do you mean after you reach this level? I mean, the Rambam's been doing that. Not only has the Rambam been explicating this in the chapters of theology, he's basically spent most of the first section of the Moed Avuchim explicating this. I mean, chapter after chapter of the Moed Avuchim is devoted to taking words and the Chumash, expressions, which appear to be anthropomorphic, and the Rambam says don't understand them literally, but rather in fact, these words have to be understood as a metaphoric or they're communicating an idea. So the same thing with people, with Amira, right? God speaking doesn't mean that God is actually speaking. It doesn't mean that people are hearing the voices of Kodesh Baruch Hu, but rather I mean, that they associate, they hear God speaking, but rather people hear sounds, and these sounds are like mountains and rivers and trees that were created by God. It's interesting is that when it comes to Har Sinai, the Sefer Yehuda Levi in the Kuzari is also bothered by this. And he doesn't know what to say, you know. Yehuda Levi says, I mean, how can the Kodesh Baruch Hu speak? On the other hand, he says, what can you do? They heard what they heard. I mean, that's what happened. You can't deny it. They heard something happened. He says, I don't know how to explain it, but they heard what they heard.
Why is there any prophetic experience? Why Har Sinai specifically bothers him?
No, because the Kuzari?
Yeah.
Oh, because in the Kuzari they were awake. In other words, a prophet normally could be you know in the sleeping, but here they were awake and they heard voices. Okay, fine. Now, the fact is that the Rambam, however, makes a subtle change. After the Rambam has convinced us that we cannot ascribe any act to God. God doesn't act, because an act basically would violate God's incorporeality. But the Rambam has made a subtle change. The Rambam said on page 167, I'm going back again on the previous year, that Dibur and Amira can refer to several things. They can refer to actually making sounds. That's on page 167, second paragraph. Pronouncing words. But Dibur and Amira can also speak about thinking something. In other words, the Torah sometimes uses Aleph Mem Reish and Dalet Beis Reish to refer to a person thinking, and then sometimes it means a person willing. Now, the Rambam says on 168 that when we associate Dibur and Amir with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, sometimes, right, we have the second associations, which are expressed through sound. What means expressed through sound? When you say God wills, God thinks. You're actually speaking about God willing, God thinking. In other words, will and thought is nothing created by God. God actually wills, God actually thinks. And just for coming attractions, the Rambam's going to say actually in chapter 68 and 69 that God's thought is his essence, God's will is his essence. A total violation of negative theology. Total violation. The entire Sefer is turned upside down. Okay? The Rambam probably feels that the unintelligent reader has probably fallen asleep by now. He's not interested in what the Rambam is saying on and on and on. Sometimes the Rambam will put in a flash of lightning, and then he'll spend a few chapters boring you again. And then you fall asleep, and then after that comes a peg, and the Rambam states it outright. The Rambam does use this many, many times. For example, at the very end of the Magen Nevuchim, the Rambam speaks about three levels of madrigas, of man, perfection. One is, I think, the possession, the material possession, wealth. One is ethical possession, which is mitzvahs. And one is philosophical perfection, which is chachma. And that's the highest perfection reached by man. And then the Rambam spends a few parakim, splitting more terms, this and that. Then all of a sudden, the Rambam contradicts himself completely in the very last paragraph of the Magen Nevuchim, speaking about imitating God in ethical perfection. I mean, what does that have to do with the violation of the previous chapter? In any case, the Rambam used this ploy over and over again. Now, he's going to use this ploy over here. What the Rambam does is, kinoi, right? Harotzen v'hachefetz. Denoting rotzen and chefetz, denoting will, by Amira v'dibra, harei hu behetem l'mashmuyos shel shittuv habitra ezeh. In other words, denoting will by Aleph Mem Reish, Dalet Beis Reish, Dalet Beis Reish, are actually similar to the way it's used with human beings. Kefi Shivhan, like we explained. The Chem Mitoch Dimoy Eleinu. Kefi Shizban Lefnei Kein. Right? Right? In other words, when I use Amir and Dibur Gai B'Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's similar to the way I use it with human beings. Shebarega rishon ein adam meivin keitzan laser meisa asher roitzim lasoy soy soy them tzos harotzen greide ella the mat rishon hekrechu sharoitzu is a dava yase is a dava shiroitzen shimotze itzavol as losen. In other words, a person will something before he does something. Lachain, therefore, yuchas lakel, therefore we will associate with God. Bahashala, using the same term, Hatzivoy, we say God commands. Shiyamashu loitzu shiyah is what God wants. But wanting is a real verb with God. There's no object phenomenon called will. V'nemar, just like what says the Rambam, I'll use, when Dibo and Amira refer to will, I'll use that in the same way with God as I use it with man. An absolute rejection of the last 60 lectures. V'noyme shutzivu shekach ye v'az haya. Zois al derech dimoy el ma'atzeno. We're comparing God's acts to man's acts. A shrek. Noisev lachach shebitoy zeh moire gaba moshmoz rotza kvo shivhavno. So for example, my separations, v'yoyim elokim yior, v'yoyim elokim, what does that mean? Says Rambam, chol mashu mefibah my separations, v'yoyim elokim mashmoz chayf, it's a rotza, God wanted, God wanted. Ah, isn't that associating with God? A desire, a human thing. In that sense, we could compare man with God. Just to show you, indicate to you, right, is that the fact is that the Rambam, right, says that God's rotzoin is part of his essence. Says the Rambam, page 180.
Which chapter?
Chapter 69, in section 1, towards the end of the chapter. She'ein ritzoi nevechetzoi, God's will, or chokhbaster is wisdom, things that are chutz liatzmusoi. God's will and chokh, but not something outside his essence. That means they're part of his essence. The Rambam says in chapter 69. Very interesting. Basically, the Rambam has made this change over here. And I'll tell you the truth, it has to be. Why? Because it says God spoke. Who's he speaking to? In my separations, who is he speaking to? So let's say, look about excuses from before some oid. Right? Says the Rabbi, how do I know that what it says he's here is speaking to his will? In other words, it's not speaking to a person. Okay. Now, what the Rambam is saying over here, right? Hakavana hazoyis, when it says Kosh Baruch Hu created these things, Shem Bolide Mitzias Bitoy Kavanasa Bechetzai, it comes from God's intention and His will, Zedobet She'enu Nela Mi'afecha Mi'chachamena Mufusamen. No one denied this. Everybody picked this up, says the Rambam. Everybody picked this up. Ve'en Tzor She'az B'shikam Amir V'diba Yishlam B'loshin Ivis B'ashbaraz Achas. And I'll tell you that they can mean the same things. Ki yi shamas is kol hamar Hashem ashi diba. Now diba namah can mean the same thing. In other words, what the Rambam has done right now is he's made a detour. He's made a change. He has said that there are certain verbs to will, to want, we're going to say to know, to think, that actually these are terms that we can use with respect to God. And we don't have to use the negative theological exception of referring to phenomena and associating them with as creations of God. But actually God wills and God things. That's like a person wills and things. That's the Rambam is saying. Incredible. Okay, now, like I said before, what's a way in which I know that the Rambam is flashing a light? How do I know that the Rambam is flashing a light? Well, one of the ways I know that is the Rambam takes another detour. In other words, when the Rambam says something subtle, then he's going to take a detour. Then I know that he flashed something. So basically, in Parkim Samach Vav and Samach Zayin, the Rambam takes a detour. He speaks about when it says Ma'is Elokim about the Luchais, that they were etched, and this was an act of God. I'm not going to go through Parkim Samach Vav. You can read it yourself. Very easy. Parasamach Zion, what does it mean God rested? It means he didn't create anything. In other words, don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests, he didn't create anything. Vayonach v'yemashvi means he didn't stop creating things. No actual rest. In other words, so the Rambam in Perek Samach Vav, Perek Samach Zayin, basically goes back to the negative theological concept of scripture, where in fact actually the verbs are either referring to phenomenal nature, or they're referring to in the case of God resting, that basically, in other words, God did not do something. In other words, there's no phenomenon associated with it. Okay, now that we went to, let's go to Perek Samach Ches 68, because here comes the Rambam, and the Rambam is going to speak about God thinking. And we're going to see in chapter 68, Perek Samach Ches begins on page 173 of the Schwartz edition, that God thinks like the way a person thinks. We think the same way. We'll see there's going to be a difference. God is always actively thinking, and sometimes we're thinking, sometimes we're sleeping. Sometimes we're not thinking. But the Rambam begins Perek Samach Ches as follows. Yodea ato, you know, the famous statement, Asher Oymer philosopher, which the philosophers speak about, Al Oydes HaKel Yisrael, about God. The philosophers, a very famous statement about God. For who, he, Shame Oymer, what is the statement of philosophers about God? Shua Sechel, that God is intellect, Hamaskil, he's intellectualizing, Vamuskel, and the object of that intellect. In other words, there's three parts. There's the Gavra, that's the Maskil, the Chetza, the object, the Muska, and then there's the verb, the Pa'ula, Maisa, Gavra, Chetza, Maisa. Okay? So, Gavra is the Maskil, the Muska is the Chetza, and the Maisa is, right, the Seichel. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu, we say that all three are one. In other words,
the
Kosher
Trinity.
The Kosher Trinity. And the Kosher Trinity. In other words,
the
Kosher Trinity. V'anu kavar iskanu zot b'chilas ha-goto. Oh, we spoke about this in the Chiburinu ha-goto. Where is that? That's obviously in Hilchos Tshuva Perakei. Actually, it's also in Perak Beis 2 in Yisrael Teira. Shekein zehu yisoy shal terasele kafi shizbanu sham. Da'ayinu shu echad b'lvad v'ein l'tzav elav d'var ech acher. You can't describe God anything. There's nothing outside of God. A description of God can be outside of God. So if you actually do describe God, he and the description will be one and the same. In other words, the only thing you can say about God is God's essence. Something which is not God's essence, you can't describe him. What does that mean? That thought is part of God's essence. God's essence is his thought. That's the implication. He's going to say that explicitly at the very, very end, that God's essence is his thought. But there's anyway, yeah.
Did you say that if God is described by something, that means he's limited, therefore he has to be the thing?
No, we'll say it like this. If God cannot describe anything outside of him, but you could describe by something of God that's him himself. In other words, if you describe God by silhouette, negative theology is you can't describe God as something outside of him, walking, talking, etc., etc. If you do describe God in a kosher way, then it has to be something that's part of God too. So if you describe God as a God's thinking, that means that God's essence is his thought, which means he doesn't think something outside of him, but rather his thinking, the object of his thought, and the thought itself are all one.
And if you'd say walking?
No, walking is different, because walking is outside of him.
It is.
That's the meaning. Okay, now. Says the Rambam, Ein Safek. Now, says the Rambam, B'chiddush. What's the Chiddush? Let me explain to you what the Chiddush is going to be. So, about man, we say the same thing. In other words, it's only God that has this trinity of thought. Man also has this trinity of thought. Says the Rambam, Ein Safek, there's no doubt. Shekal mi shelo heap it pesvalim shechuvu la'idus aseichel. Whoever has not read books that were written about the intellect, lohisik as atzmos aseichel, has not really understood really what intellect is. Ve'en yodei es mahusai, doesn't really understand what it is. Ve'en mevin ela kamo shemashu mevin mashbos halev mashacher. He only understands things like black and white, colors. In other words, if you haven't read books about intellect, you only know about black and white, colors, black and white, so it's going to be very, very difficult for you to understand this, says the Rambam. Very difficult to understand this. The Baru, we have said, Shehu HaSeichel, God is intellect, Hamaskil, the intellectualizer, Vahamuskil, the object of thought. Yeba'en of Gilo Malnu, like you think when you say that, so the Amaretz will say, Haluben, Hamulben, Vahamalben, Ben Dava Echad. He'll say that the person, I guess is speaking about white, right? Speaking about white? He'll say, if you paint something white, so the painter, the color, and the thing you painted are one the same, so you'll laugh. Kama boirim yaschil l'storis devareinu be'ezes ha'moshel hazeh. So people are going to say, that's stupid. How could you say that? Now, the Rambam is clearly speaking to his intended audience. He's left the other people aside in the last two chapters. Uma Rambam eilu b'syamu l'yoyis chacham shedavaz ha'yiksha aleyim yachshu she'yediyah shanochin hu shedavaz ha'chrechi hu inyan she'en ha'das basiga oisai. People think, well, this is an abstract thing, but it's really very clear. You can prove it, you can really demonstrate it. Just like the philosophers, the theologians have explained it. On page 174. I'm going to explain to you what it is, says that number. Which means, what's the Rambam going to say? The Rambam's going to explain to me how it works with a person too. Because I'm going to say that the thinker, the object thought in thought, is not a statement that is true about God. It's a trait that applies to any person who's actively thinking. And that's what he says. Da. Okay? This is what he's going to prove to me. Shefnei she'odem maskil dovamar, hu maskil b'koyach. Now, before a person thinks about something, he can potentially think about something. In other words, everybody's a potential thinker. This whole... Right? This hope for you, for all of us. The kashu maskil dovama, but when he's actively thinking, kagoin shetoyme kashu maskil esugas hachtichas ha'eitz hazoi, sha'anu matzbiyam aleha. Because a person is a piece of wood that has a certain structure. So, for example, he says that this piece of wood is a square. V'shoylev satzuga shalom minachoyme shalom v'toyfes satzuga hamur otelos. In other words, you have, let's say, this table is a square. So when a person looks at the table, so of course the table is a physical table made of wood. But the person who's intelligent understands that there's a tzua, which is an abstract square, like the Rambam says, he's able to bring out the abstract figure. Actually, this is actually not a square, this is a rectangle. But in other words, he's able, when a person looks at the table, and I say, what is the shape of the table? And I say a rectangle. Now, what a rectangle means, there's four sides, and all the angles are right angles, and all the properties of the of a rectangle. So what the person does is he looks at this physical piece of wood, and he abstracts out a rectangle, and says the Rambam, right, this is an action of the seichel. Zoyz pulas haseichel. This is what the seichel does. In other words, what is a person? In other words, azayu nasa maskel b'poyel. In other words, what is a person, a gavra, doing seichel? What is he? In other words, when is he an intellectualizer? What he's doing is he takes a piece of wood and he picks out an abstract tzura, figure of that wood. Ah, so what does it mean to say? The intellect, which became active, because now there's a rectangle. He ain't a seichel dava zulus ain't in a buska. In other words, basically, seichel means this rectangle which I have pulled out of this object by virtue of my intellect. Hareish is balacha shadava habuska, the thing which I'm focusing on. Who atzuha more tell us? Shochidichas aetz is the tzura, the figure, the rectangle of this piece of wood. Who aseichel, and it's the seichel, which means it's the gets this abstract rectangle. Shegila yois bepoil that became active. Ve'ain hem shtei devam. They're not two things, two separate things. Shekol seichel batzuha v'muskela shochidichas aetz. In other words, the seichel, the intellect, the rectangle, and the tzura, the thing which I'm intellectualizing in the wood, are one the same. Ki ena seichel b'poyel dova zulas mashahuska. In other words, basically, seichel, intellect, and the thing which I'm, the atom intellect, are one the same. V'adova sheboy uskola tzuvot chadik la'ezu tella shua maskir hua seichel shegil li'ezu poyel b'li safik. In other words, basically, right, the thing which, in other words, this thing which has been apprehended, right? And who's apprehended? No other than the maskil. That's the seichel that becomes active. No one says the Rambam, ki pulasai shall call seichel hi atzmusai. So basically like this. The Rambam says is, when a person thinks, when a person uses his intellect, that's his essence. Because he and the object and intellect are one and the same. In other words, I think the way God thinks. In other words, don't think that when I say God is both the thinker and the act of thought and thought itself, don't think that's some type of a metaphysical statement which is meaningless, because if you think about it, that's what happens when a person actively thinks. In other words, the seichel is not one act, it's not something which is different from the action, they're both the same thing. Because the seichel is really the hasaka, which is the intellectualizing activity of the person who's thinking. So he says, "Al tachshuv shaseichel b'foyel u'davar nimsa li'atzmi," etc., etc. Okay, so says the Rambam, we've come to the conclusion that the unity of intellectualizer, act of intellect, and intellect is not only a property of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, like the philosophers say, that's also a property of man, anyone who's thinking. So the Rambam, the last paragraph, 174, v'zeh bore ma'oi, this is very clear. L'mishe hisnase bi'iyun ba'ein zeh. Whoever's thought about this, whoever learned about this, shepulose ha'seichel, shi'asogos, ha'misis ha'tzbusa. In other words, when a person is thinking, his essence is his think, thought. Or tell us to God, etc., etc., who are maskil, etc. He prays it over and over again. Okay, so now, page 175, repeats it over and over again, makes this very clearer. Bore eifel. Therefore, I'm in the third line, page 175, the Schwartz edition. Bore eifel. It's ever clear. Shekasher ha-seichel din tzeba poil. So then, when the seichel is active, when the intellect is active, it's at one, it's the same thing as the thing that's apprehended. So the person who's thinking, that becomes his essence. Mikan, whenever a person thinks, the seichel, the maskil, the muskel are one. Okay, so how come man is not God? So what's the answer? But kasher menichim shu b'koyach. But a person is not thinking, so then they're separate things.
I hear more that the maskil and the muskil are the same thing, the seichel and the muskil are the same thing, but the maskil and the seichel are the same thing?
Because they have to be, the transitive law, if A is B and B is C is A is C. That's what it is. As him behelu shnei devarim. In other words, but when a person's not thinking, some of you are falling asleep, people are not thinking. a seichel b'koyach, a muskel b'koyach. In other words, the seichel b'koyach, the muskel b'koyach. Kilomar a seichel hayule yashe b'uven hu seichel b'koyach. Because the eighth muskel b'koyach. Now, everything's potential states, so they're different. In other words, they only become the same when they're active. But when a person is not thinking, so the two things basically are dormant. And always this is a potential state. Eilu b'lis selfish, they're showing the two things, separate things. Because you yaitzil a poil, but tzuah chadikas ha'eis begilius musegis b'poil. But I actually think about it, as I tiatzuah muskel azoy masechel becomes equal, etc. etc. For oitz yasechel atzma shusel poil he artil etc. etc. Okay, fine now. Kol mashu b'koyach zok beherchet lamatze sheyishya es akoyach hazeh kama lamoshel la'odom. Okay? In other words, anything which is potential has to be a property of someone, of something. And that's a person. So therefore, in other words, since a person can potentially think, but he's not always thinking, so says the number, there'll be three things. Number one, ha'odem anoyis is ha'koyach ahu, shu ha'maskel b'koyach. A person is a potential thinker, intellectualizer. Two, ha'koyach shu ha'sechel b'koyach. This is the intellect which is in potential. And three, Hadava move liyais muskel, a thing which is going to be apprehended. Shu a muskel b'koyach. In other words, when you say ha'adam v'asecha yuli tzuah sa'eitz, there are three things when a person, right? When a person is potentially thinking, but not thinking actively. Okay? But when a person, kasher magia secha liyais b'poyach, in other words, but when a person starts thinking, nasa shloshes and yonam echad, they all become one. In other words, when you're sleeping, there are three things. When you're not thinking, there are three things. But when you start thinking, they become one thing. The Eilam of Tim says, "Hasechel gadava echad, hasechel gadava acher, elim kenim l'sham mekayach." In other words, only separate things when with potential. Now, so what about the Eibishter? What about the Tate, Kodesh Baruch Hu? Says the Rabbah, no, God is different. Umikayman, but since it's been proven, shehucha ochucha b'chacha moves. It's been proven rigorously. It's been demonstrated. Shakel Yisali is Gadel who seichel b'poyel. God is always actively thinking. We began the parak like that, the chapter like that. The ein by koyach kolika. God is not potentially something because God is nothing. But there's two states of God, and therefore he's not one. He's two. The Leon Levy said to the Baal, maybe he's sleeping. He was making a very, very incredible statement. He was basing himself on the mind of Uchan. El Hussein Bapoil Tabit. God is always actively thinking. Kavish is bar has been made clear. Ukavish Yuchak by Chacha moves, that can be proven. I'm on page 176. Kasho Yabin Masi Pablam. If God is not always actively thinking, sometimes he knows, sometimes he doesn't know, sometimes he apprehends. That can't be. Paganism. There's two gods, the sleeping god and the waking God. Elu seichel poil tomid, mischayev shiyahu, v'oysa dava musik dava echad, v'u'atz musay! God's thought is his essence. U'pu'ulas hasoga atzma shebo u'koyen maskil, u'etzam ha'seichel shu atz musay lecha, u'seichel maskil maskil yoyim. Okay? However, says the Rambam, what was the point of this chapter? What was the point of this parak? Says the Rambam, Bala Eifa, he said this several times, but now he's telling you what he really means it. Bala Eifa, Shahayois Hasechel Hamaskel Vamuskel Echad, B'mispa. That which we say, the Seichel, Maskel, Muskel are one, Eino Legabe Abayalavad. It's not only God, and Legabe is Legabe every Seichel. There's nothing special about God's seichel. It's just that God is always using a seichel. And man is sometimes not using a seichel. Gambanu, also with us. Hamaskil, haseichel, hamuskul, adava echad, the one thing. The only difference is, aber anach te yoytze ben hakoyach lapoyal midi pa bapam. But we go in and out. Now, if you'll notice, the Rambam has repeated himself a lot in this parak. Well, the Rambam knows he's repeated himself a lot. In fact, the Rambam says in the very final paragraph, "Anu chazalo egin ze perek ze pam mispa." We've actually repeated ourselves a lot. Mikavan, why? Shatfisa hazois zoramoi. Because it's very, very strange. This thing is very strange. Very alien. The das. You know, it's a very alien thing to understand. Any sova sha'ata devalbala satfisa sikhlis hazois ebadimyo in the kita shashtkafois hamuchesh pekoy chabadama. Don't use your stupid, in other words, imaginative understandings of things to ruin this concept. Now, what the Rambam says, this is something you could easily mess up with. Don't, in other words, try to think abstractly, says the Rambam. Don't, in other words, don't use your common sense intuitions of things and therefore implode this concept. Because this book was only written to people who learn philosophy. And they truly understand with clarity things about the nefesh. Now, the fact is that that's what the Rambam has said the purpose of the Sefer was. If we go to the Pesicha, which in the Swartz edition is number 10, I've actually spoken about this, we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, says the Rambam, the purpose of this book, right, purpose of the entire book, right, the true science of the Torah, the true wisdom of the Torah. Yes, Yisro Kain. Moreover, Matoas Hasefer Zeh Lahayir LaAdam Dati Asher Nikba BeNafshei, right, who's learned philosophy, right, and human intellect is important to him to understand certain things. Okay. We spoke about the Ram also speaks about the different cases and the purposes, as I said, the nefesh of a person that was Moshe Rabbeinu. It's clear, right, that the Ram says, I'm repeating myself over, shesefik ze lochipa ele mishal b'philosophia, which means more than that. What the Ram is really saying is that this parak is fundamental, because that's exactly who the Ram is aiming at. In other words, this paper, this parak, this chapter, is one of the what? Is actually in which the purpose of the Baruch Avuchim is clearly being explicated. Now, what is this? What is this purpose of the Baruch Avuchim? Okay. First of all, we haven't done the Baruch Avuchim from the very, very beginning, but I've referred to this several times, that the first chapter of the Baruch Avuchim speaks about what's called Tzelem Elokim. And for the Rambam, what's called Tzelem Elokim is the seichel of a person. What has the Rambam done now? The Rambam has basically turned himself 180 degrees. At the very end of negative theology, when I've been convinced that there's no connection between man and God, there's no way that man can possibly understand God's essence. The Rambam has repeated himself over and over. He's one, right? But not a oneness, concept of oneness. He exists, but not by virtue of existence. Right? At the very end, the Rambam says, you want to know something? God thinks the way you think. Except that God is always thinking, and sometimes you're not thinking. But you know what? The same things I say about God's thought that constitute God's essence, the same thing we said about a person. Which means, what the Rambam is saying is that don't think that your thought operates differently than the way God thinks. You think like God. You think like God. In fact, says the Rambam, this sounds like a very strange thing, because we tend to think that we don't think like God. Says the Rambam, that's dimyon, that's imagination. That's people who are caught in imagination because they're unable to understand a certain philosophical truth. The philosophical truth is that what we describe about the thought of God, which is obviously his essence, right, is in fact none other than a description of the thought of man.
Didn't we say by God's thought, that God thinks the thought and that thought thinks the thought?
act. That's an act of creation.
But isn't that constant? Isn't that God's cosmic creation as well?
No, but he could think thoughts too. Okay, fine, but the act of thinking. God, in other words, God's thoughts can, in fact, actually, you know, it's God's thoughts create thoughts. That's in, you know, Perikid Beis, Chelik Beis. But then the Rambam was speaking about the creation of the world. In other words, the Rambam asked the question, how does God create the world? Creation is an act of God too. So Rambam says basically God doesn't directly create the world. He thinks thoughts, and Mamela, there's a process in which the thoughts actually, you know, somehow think thoughts and create thoughts, but he's going to put a world. But that's an act of creation. But he was speaking about the actual act of thinking.
The original thought in that process?
Right, original thought. God's thought. God's act of thinking.
But God's...
In other words, God's thoughts, you know, are a creation of God too. There was speaking about God's thoughts as creations of God.
Fine, but that's not true by a person.
But it's not true by God either. But the act of thinking by God. In other words...
There's a huge difference though, between God's... There's a qualitative difference in God's thinking and man's thinking now.
No. The Rambam there is just discussing how did God create the world. God thought a thought, and the thought somehow is a process. In other words, when God creates the world by thinking a thought, and that type of thought just basically goes on and creates a world. But there's an abstract concept of thinking.
But the thought that he thought.
God's initial thought was to think about a world or to think about creating something. Mm-hmm. That thought God made as a common with God. In other words, the fact is that God can also make his thoughts actually create a world too. But the fact is that when God thinks, conceives something abstractly, he conceives the same way that man conceives something abstractly. In other words, God could take his thoughts, God could send his thoughts out, and that's an act of creation.
No.
Or God's thoughts come out of creation. But the act of thinking, the abstract thinking of God, right? Before it, you know what's in, you know.
But it's a very different, good, fine. So there's a common denominator, but they're very different kinds of acts.
No, but in other words, the Rambam is saying over here, when God thinks the thought, right? He thinks the thought the same way that man thinks the thought. His thought is part of his essence. In other words, the Rambam is not there. God is actually thinking thoughts, which there's a fallout from the thoughts. The world is created. Because when God thinks something, eventually these thoughts actually reach fruition and create a world. But the actual act of thinking, in and of itself, is his essence that's filled with the man.
Even then.
Yeah, even then.
So does that happen to my thoughts as well? They're going to do something?
No. You're not a creator.
Darn. Never Shacham says I am.
The Bishchaim says you're a creator because the Bishchaim is asking God's God in of himself. The Bishchaim is speaking about the God-man relationship. We see the Mitzideinu. That's something different. That's easy. Okay, now. I think we have over here what the Rambam is saying. What is he really thinking? What Rambam is saying like this. First of all, everything, you know, what's the point of this? L'may nafkamina. Man thinks like God thinks. L'may nafkamina. L'may nafkamina. What do I care? Just help me. That $1.50 will get me on the subway. So what? I want to claim the following thing. The Rambam here has an incredible message. The message of the Rambam here is that if man thinks like God thinks, then man is able to uncover God's thinking, God's logic. In other words, the Meira Nevuchim, we actually spoke about the Meira Nevuchim being actually the Vua Moshe Rabbeinu. That was lectures 14 and 15. But Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is to understand the logic of God. We spoke about that, we brought proofs from that in different places, especially what? In the Tamei Mitzvahs. In other words, man is able to understand the logic of God's thought. Namely, when God even commands a mitzvah, there's an underlying logic to it, and man is able to understand it. What allows the Rambam to understand God's thought? Because God thinks like man thinks. In other words, I'm able to understand your thoughts, your logic. Only because I think like you think. That's a don't bring me psukim in the Torah. I'll bring a pasuk when it's right to me. Was that right? You want me a pasuk? The Rambam Taka uses that in different things, whatever it is. But the fact is that what enables man to, the whole Meir HaNevuchim is coming in a good part to tell me that yes, God's mitzvahs, for example, have an underlying logical and conceptual framework, a process, and you can understand it. What allows you to understand why God can, or how God commanded the mitzvahs? Here's why, but it really should be the natural. What allows you to understand science? Isn't science God's thoughts? Well, since you think like God thinks, there's no reason why you know what you're thinking the same as. Of course, you're not always thinking about it, but when you're thinking about it, you can understand the underlying logic of God's creation. Just like you can understand the underlying logic of God's mitzvahs, because God doesn't do anything without a reason and an underlying rationale. In other words, what the Rambam is doing here is explaining to me that ultimately, man's ability to apprehend the Torah, the mitzvahs, the creation, whatever Sisrei Torah there is, man can apprehend these things. Why? Because man's mind works like God's mind works. Now, this seems like an incredible thing. But the fact is that, I think we'll probably have to speak about it in later Shiurim, that Gilgulim of the Rambam's thoughts actually are in the, for example, Nefesh HaChayim, in the Goyim, actually in the Sarah Mamorim, of the Goyim, Sarah Klom of the Goyim, we spoke about this, right? Kutcha Bricha V'Raisa, Yisrael Chadu, Nefesh HaChayim speaking about that man thinks Kodesh Baruch Hu repeats things over to him. What does it mean, man, Kodesh Baruch Hu repeats the Torah of man for the Goran Gittin of the Beis? Why does he repeat the Torah over to him? Man's thought is not less than God's thought. Of course, it's Bitsi Deinu, I understand. But in other words, that's only the, like the Leshem says, the Rambam is before the Tzimtzum, and everything else is after the Tzimtzum. But the fact is, in other words, modulo the Tzimtzum, the fact is, the rational Jewish perspective and ontology before the Tzimtzum, which is the Rambam, after the Tzimtzum is the Goyin, maybe the Nefesh HaChayim, certainly the Leshem, is predicated upon the fact that when man thinks he's God, he's acting like God. And therefore, man has the potential to understand the rational order of the world. And that's what the Rambam says. That's the purpose. It's a very strange thing to think. Now, what the thing is, it's a violation of negative theology. Because negative theology says, I can't describe God. I can't describe God, but I can think like him.
This solves Descartes' problem.
Where's not Descartes' problem?
Descartes says, I don't know, my logic is true. Maybe my logic is false. So he has to have a whole thing that God wouldn't lie to him, and if God was the...
No, so it's the inverse of Descartes.
I see, God solves Descartes,
Let me say that all over in Lush and Nakia. Descartes said, I can doubt everything, but I'm sure that I'm thinking. What's the purpose of my certainty? Because God. That's what Descartes says. This is the inverse. I am God, therefore I'm thinking. Descartes says, I think, therefore I exist. I'm saying, I'm think, therefore I'm God. Or I'm God, therefore I think. Anyway, in any case.
My thought process is valid.
That shrugs up Descartes. What?
How do you know that a thought process is inherently logical?
Because that's what I'm saying.
Oh, is it potentially? We're saying potentially, I think? Every thought
is... No. Potential, nothing. I'm sleeping. It's only what I'm actually thinking.
Wait, I'm saying that when you're actually thinking, your thoughts are potentially being like the thoughts of God. Like, every thought is like...
That's what the Rambam is doing this whole chapter. See, you find this hard to believe. That's what Rambam said to you. I understand that you can find this hard to believe. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I happen to think that maybe he repeated himself a lot to confuse people, you know, going back and forth. It was a pill pull, you know, people falling asleep. But the fact is, what has the Rambam done? What the Rambam has done is taken all negative theology and turned it around. Negative theology, it turns out, is not only the means to not understanding God, not be able to speak about God, but somehow it's related to thinking like God. Now, how could that possibly be true? How could it possibly be? In other words, I want to claim it's not a contradiction. Let me explain to you why. In other words, like the question we're asking is this a contradictory theology? If, how do I know anything about God? In other words, if I can speak about God, I can describe them, so I know something about God. But I can't describe God. I mean, God, the object, is removed from me. So how do I know something? How do I know anything? It must be, I have to be able to think like him. I become God. In other words, we exchange roles. In other words, if it's like the Hamaska Vahamuska. In other words, if I can't treat God as an object, I have to become God. In other words, if I treat God as an object, so there's no problem. I can study the object, come close to the object. It's Christianity. I say this. Remember. However, but if I can't treat God as an object, so the only way I can really have a connection with him is thinking like him. Somehow, the way I think is the way God thinks. In other words, the center of gravity of literature, rational philosophy, is the godless of man. And man imitates God. In fact, that's Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph. That's called Tzelem Elokim. That's only after the Tzimtzum. But the point is that in rational philosophy, the central personage is not God, but it's man. This is something which we have to explore, and we have to see the currents and the ramifications in future centuries of Jewish thinking, but the Rambam certainly has laid the foundation for this. In any case, I think we'll conclude over here. This is something that I'm sure everybody wants to think about, reflect upon. I'm eager to hear your comments. In any case, for an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim Yom HaKodesh, call to Vatzlacha Rambam.